by faith, I see the sun.
Let's just keep playing it soft. Just play it through. I think I'll be done one time. Brother don't need no introduction tonight, does he? Hallelujah. Got Brother Alex with us again, and sure appreciate the brother, his heart for the Lord, and the word that he's going to have for us tonight. How many believes the Lord is speaking to us tonight? Amen. God bless you, sis. Good to have you as well. It's Brother Alexander's mother. The only prayer request that I had that I wanted to bring to you is, remember, next Sunday, this Sunday coming, I'm preaching my life story, and I've been talking to students a lot that are graduating and things, and I've had at least five that told me that they plan on coming. So I'm asking to bring friends. So I'm expecting great things. And I pray not only help them, but help you all to know, you know, sometimes we wonder why is somebody so passionate about this? Well, you're about to find out. Hallelujah. I'll say it. I'll keep it simple for you. I know what God said is true, and I know it never fails. Not by somebody else's account, but my own personal account. I've never seen him fail. Hallelujah. I just can't praise him enough. I can't thank him enough for how good of a God he is to us, brother, sister. Say, why do you act this way? It's because I'm not praising him because what you're doing or what you're thinking. I'm thinking about him. And I'm remembering what he's done for me. And I wish I had more voices. I'd praise him more. I'd jump more. I'd do more. Hallelujah. Well, I got my youth. Let me use it, Lord. Bring you glory, bring you praise. You love him tonight? Amen. You expecting again? Let's invite Brother Alexander. Let's invite the Lord. Let's invite the Word of God to come and do as it pleases tonight as we sing it one more time. Oh, it's by faith. Believe now, brother, sister, that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by
God bless you. It's nice to be here with you all tonight. See, so many can make it out in the midweek, and just so happy to be here with you. God bless you. I'm talking about Brother Andrew's story and his life, and just so thankful for my little part in it, and for each of you that's here tonight, your part in this story as well. So we just praise God. Glad to see we got matching outfits for the musicians now. Moving up in the world. They caught the same inspiration. That's all right. Amen. We're so happy about that. If you have your Bibles this evening, we're going to look into Daniel, the 7th chapter. And spoken several different times on different thoughts with inspiration. I'd like to take a thought tonight, an inclination to inspiration. I'm trying to come up with cool titles like Andrew. Brother Andrew has for his services. An inclination to inspiration. As I take this thought tonight, I just want to say this. I just want to take a few moments, hopefully not too much of your time, just read some quotes and things. And if I sound a little more deliberate tonight, if it's not maybe as the evangelicals used to, or maybe a little more instruction, it's because I intend to be. I want you to catch what I'm trying to present tonight. Most of the quotes I'll probably use, if you studied the message at all, you're familiar with it, but it's what it's saying that I want to catch tonight. So I believe it would be a blessing to you. Daniel, the 7th chapter, we're just going to read chapter 7, verses 15 and 16 here. And then we'll go to the Lord for a word of prayer. The Bible says this, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. He says, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of these things. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight, Lord. No doubt many of us have worked today and done different things and we're tired in body. But I pray just now, Lord, for myself, for each of these here, you just inspire us once again, Lord. May you refresh us by the moving of the Holy Spirit, knowing that the words that are being spoken tonight, your words, Lord, you said they are spirit and they are life. May they not fall to the ground, but may they find a place in our minds and in our hearts tonight that we'd receive it on good ground. May you fill our hearts with your word, Lord. May you transform our minds by the renewing renewing of the same spirit, the same word tonight. Bless your people with an understanding. Lord, I believe that there may be one here tonight, maybe more than one tonight this would speak to. I pray they just take it now into their hearts. And may they treasure this word. May it bring a transformation, Lord, a life-changing experience into our lives. Father, grant me now that I would just move aside completely. Father, you could take these lips and say what you would have to say under the same anointing, inspiration that I received it in, Lord. I was so happy as I thought about what you were trying to say. And I believe you'd do it tonight for your children, Father. Bless them, we pray, for we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the church says, amen. Amen. God bless you, you're seated tonight. An inclination to inspiration, or being inclined, or being predisposed to it. And like I said, I've talked a little bit about inspiration here. You know, Brother Branham said that inspired believers take the inspired word, amen? And that brings the results. Now, was there a hook here? I can't remember last time. Oh, it's clear over here. Man, that's a lot of walking for me. Inspired believers, amen? We know that the Word of God is inspired. How many believes that? I hope I don't have to qualify that to you tonight if you're sitting in church. The Word of God is inspired. But inspired believers take the inspired Word, and that's what brings results. That's why so many people can have a Bible in their home and don't have any result in their life. They have to get inspired by the same inspiration that wrote this Bible. Amen? So anything, and I preached this here recently, anything outside of the inspiration of God, it's just an impersonation. And though it might look right, though it might even look biblical, fundamentally, it's an impersonation, and it's carnal, and if we're not careful, it brings a reproach on this word. To watch somebody say they believe this word and they do everything right and they go on for a certain time and then to fall away, it brings a reproach on the word. So we must have the same inspiration in our life and in our heart. Amen. We don't want to be guilty. Amen. We don't want to be guilty tonight of refusing this word. As I said before, there's only two things you can do with inspiration as a Christian. You can wait on it, and you can yield to it. Amen. Now, inspiration, when you wait on inspiration, it can come to you when you're praying. It can come to you in your car, when you're at the job, whatever it is. You're waiting on the inspiration. You're waiting for God to say something to you. You're maybe not even looking for it always, but your heart is ready. Amen. It's not always just that we're looking or seeking for something, but our heart's always ready. Well, if he sends down the order, if it gets passed down through the chain of command, we're just sitting there maybe at home, maybe you're knitting or whatever you're doing, and the order comes. We say, I'm ready to go, Lord. We're waiting for inspiration. We say, I'm not always looking maybe for a certain kind, but whatever it is, whatever God sends me, I want to receive it. If you're seeking God for something, you're waiting for the inspiration. You can't make it come, but you can wait on Him and know He's faithful, who wrote this Bible, who gave you this word, who saved your soul, that He's faithful to give it to you. Because they that are born of the Spirit, they're the sons of God, and the sons of God are led by His Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you can wait for it. And there's one other thing we want to do is yield to it. Amen. We never, I've seen this so many times. What a dreadful thing, brother. And I've seen this so many, I wasn't even trying to preach about this. But what a dreadful thing. I've seen it so many times in my life. Somebody looking for an answer from God to some question in their life. And you give them the answer. Then you say, well, you know what? The Bible's got the answer. Most of the time it's right there in the Bible and they don't want it anyway. What a dreadful thing to seek and to cry out to God for an answer. And God speaks to you and you say, you know what? I don't care. I changed my mind. That's what Balaam did. Amen. He sought an answer from God. He got a clear-cut decision. Said, you know what? I don't want that answer. Amen. So we want to wait. Let's not ask God for inspiration or direction unless we want to receive it how He gives it. That's free. I just throw that in there. Amen. If we're going to ask for it, let's take it the way He gives it. Amen. Amen. So I was looking at this idea of inspiration. It's funny, just a couple weeks ago, about three times within a couple weeks time, I had several people come to me and they were speaking to me about a certain thing. And it kind of was the inspiration, if I could say that, for this sermon, because I think this thing comes up. I see it so much. And I thought it would be a thing maybe perhaps to speak tonight about, because we look at people that are inclination, amen. They're inclined to hear from God, a spiritual type of person. And Brother Branham talks about spiritual people because sometimes they suffer with certain things in their life because of their makeup or their personality, amen. Because of the many spirits that are at work. Because listen, this is the thing. If a person is sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that means they're also sometimes sensitive to other kinds of spirits. Amen. The same inspiration that comes on them and bless. I was talking to a sister about this, and I was with her husband, and she was just talking to me about this tremendous weight weight that would come on her. And she just had these burdens come on her every now and then. And people had told her for years she had mental issues and this and that. Now, some people have issues, and I'm not against that, and I'm not disqualifying that. But I was just talking to this sister and just kind of watching her spirit, and I felt led to talk to her this way. And I was talking to her about this, and I talked about this idea of Daniel in this text. And you look through the Bible, you look at people like this. Daniel, when the Lord was dealing with him in this text, he wasn't jumping up and down. Amen. He wasn't shouting and having a good time. The Bible says he was grieved in his spirit. And then you look time and time again at the prophets, this great burden would come in their life. And sometimes it would cause them to wail or travail or to weep or whatever it is. Because they're a spiritual kind of a person. Sometimes it affects you differently. It's not always jumping up and down. That's okay. That's fine. But sometimes it affects you differently. Amen. Daniel here was grieved. John in the Bible, when he sees the one like the sun and he falls down as a dead man. And so I say this because this sister, I was talking to her about her nature and her character. This is what I said to her. I said, sister, I don't think you realize. And like I said, I had the same discussion with some other people, but I looked at this sister. And I said, I don't think you realize there's things going on in this church that people maybe don't even know about. There's things going on in people's lives and they don't even know about it. And I said, what's happening is that burden is coming on you because God is wanting you to do something with that burden. And you just think you're having a bad day, and you just think there's something wrong with you, and you just think it's a chemical imbalance. And see, the devil will come along, and what we'll do, well, praise the Lord, I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but what we'll do is we'll go and we'll get on the phone, or we'll get on Facebook, or we'll go do something else, or we'll find a distraction, or we'll take a pill, and maybe God's wanting to speak to you. Maybe God put that burden there for a reason, and you're missing that God's trying to use you. Because it's not always fun. It's not always joyful. Amen. I said, what's happening is you're actually catching the spirit of things going on in the church. And this is the problem. You don't realize it. You think it's just you. You think it's just a problem. And here God is trying to deal with you. Amen. And so I was talking about this. I said, listen, the prophet talked about the same thing. I will read a quote here. Brother Bram says this in Blind Bartimaeus, and I'll skip down through part of it for the sake of time here tonight, but he says this. He says, how many knows that poets, prophets, and spiritual people is always considered neurotic or something wrong with them? He says, sure they are. And he gives an example. Stephen Foster, he wrote all these great folk songs we know, like along the Suwannee River, my old Kentucky home. And Brother Bram makes the point that this man, when he got done with the inspiration of songwriting, he called a servant when they took a razor and committed suicide. Is it the same thing with William Cowper, who wrote... what's the song he wrote? There's a blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. There's a fountain filled with blood. You all know this song. We sing this song in church, and I don't know how many people realize, but we sing this song in church. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. That man, when he got done, went and tried to drown. I believe he went and drowned himself. And so, Brother Bear makes his point. He says, see, when you're up there, it's wonderful. Talking about inspiration. He says, but when you're coming out, it's when you're coming out. He says, look at Jonah the prophet. Went down with a message from God and prophesied to a city about the size of St. Louis, Missouri, to a people that didn't know their right hand from their left hand. And the message, think about this, was so forceful till they put sackcloth on their animals. The Bible says they put that on their cattle. That's how much they repented. They went out and got the dog. They went out and got Fido. They went out and got Bessie and put sackcloth on them too. What a preacher, man. He got the whole city saved. Thousands and thousands of people. We'd have been jumping up and down. Look at the harvest God has given us. And you know what this man did? He says, and when the spirit left him, he was so depleted that he sat under a little tree and got angry and wanted God to strike him dead. You thought you had a bad day. Wanted God to strike him dead because a little cutworm cut the gourd tree down. Is that right? Look at Elijah the prophet. Under the inspiration, stood there and called fire out of heaven. Called water out of heaven. Killed 400 priests and run at the threat of a woman. Run out in the desert. Was out there 40 days and nights wandering around. The angel of the Lord woke him when he was asleep and fed him twice. Think about this. Now he's getting fed by angels. Every day. Twice a day for that long journey. And he was wandering in the desert, not knowing where he was. And when God found him, he had been pulled away back in a cave. Covering his face. I'm the only one left. He says, how many knows that? He says this, oh, if we could just get the spiritual side, friends. He says, I love to hear people shout. I love to hear people praise the Lord. But that's not spiritual yet. I've seen people shout and dance and praise the Lord. Know nothing more about spiritual things than a hot and tot note about an Egyptian night. He said, that's right. They come up on the platform just running around and around and screaming and carrying on. That's emotion. He says, emotion's all right. But brother, when you come right down to the fact of it, that's not spirit. That's joy. But spirit is spiritually discerned, he says. Now, like I said, you've probably heard Brother Graham talk about this before. And like I said, because other spirits affect you, not just the Holy Spirit. Amen. When you're in an inspiration, you're moving and God's moving, that's great. But when you come down off that, the spirit that somebody's carrying, then maybe their attitude towards you or whatever it is, maybe somebody dealing with something in church, that affects you too. And if you're not careful, if you're a Christian, you don't recognize what's going on because it's spiritually discerned. You think that's just you. Amen. You think that you might have a problem or you feel a certain way, and maybe you're picking up something from somebody else. And if you don't recognize what it is, you'll always think that's you. See, it's the lack of recognition is the problem. That's what I was telling this sister. I said, if you don't recognize it, you think it's you. You think there's something wrong with you when you're actually discerning needs in the body of Christ. But the problem is you don't realize it, and you're going through something, and God allows you to go through it just like he did Daniel, because he's trying to draw you to something. He's trying to get you in that channel or that spirit, amen? Because where they're at, let's say God puts a burden in your heart for somebody, where they're at might not be that great. In fact, it's probably not. That's why you feel that way, because you're picking up what they're going through, amen? Now see, the problem, that's why I say this, if you're spiritual, you have to be careful, because Brother Bram says this way in demonology, he talked about King Saul, if you're not waiting on the Lord and you're pushing for something, you'll go find something that'll speak to you. That's why you have to wait on the Lord. Well, he went and found a witch of Endor when God wouldn't speak to him, is that right? Amen. But listen, if you recognize that it's God, it's not necessarily the problems with you, but it's something you're picking up. Amen. The Bible says this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, for our comely parts have no need, he says, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. Amen. So notice, there's parts of the body that are stronger than others. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Nobody here wants to say, well, I'm the weakest organ in the body. But listen, your most vital organs are the weakest part of your body. Well, I don't want to be the heart of the brain. Well, I tell you what, I could live without my hand. Well, praise God. Not trying to get rid of anybody here tonight. Amen. But listen, the most vital, most powerful parts of your body are also the weakest. They're the most sensitive. You something go wrong with your heart or something with your brain, man, you're down. It's not like stubbing your toe, amen? And listen, when a person, if they're sensitive to the Spirit, you've got to pray for that person. Amen, maybe you're not that one, then you pray for that one. When they're going through something, because they're there for you and you're there for them, he tempered the whole body together. There's not one schism. There's not one flaw. Every joint supplies. He put the whole thing together for a reason. God knew your brain would need a heart, and your heart would need a brain. Your eye would need an ear, and your ear would need a hand. So he put you together here tonight. And you can look at that brother and say, I don't know why he's having heart palpitations. I don't know why he's like, hey, listen, I'll tell you what, try and live without your heart one day and see how it goes. It ain't going to work out too well. Amen. You pray for that, brother. You pray for that, sister. Amen. He said that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, this is what I'm coming to now. If one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Amen. Listen, if you get a paper cut, there ain't one part of your body don't know it. You're there bandaging it and getting on the phone, asking the pastor to probably get a paper cut. Somebody pray for me. Mosquito bit me. The whole body suffers, amen? That's why a person that's like that, then they catch the inspiration, somebody's suffering in the body. Amen? Because the whole body suffers with it, amen? It's not them. Is this all right? You understand where I'm coming from? It's not them. It's not you. It's the body is suffering. When one suffers, we all suffer. Praise God. When one member is honored, we all rejoice. We don't get critical. We don't get jealous. We don't fuss and fight. If one of us is honored, we all rejoice together. I tell you what, if my right hand hits a home run, my whole body rejoices. I ain't sitting there, well, I wish I had, you know, it's all part of me, amen? It's the same Christ in the body. So who are we to be jealous or to fight or to look down? It's the same body. My. Brother Bram says this in Questions and Answers 54. He says this, notice, if one suffers, we all suffer, amen? He says, I give you my estimation of what I think the closest thing is to an evidence that a man is a Christian than anything that I know of. He says, you know what it is? It's travail of soul. Boy, you thought it was running around or speaking in tongues. It's travail of soul. It's just a person that's always so hungering and thirsting for God that just simply, just day and night, they just can't stand it. They've got to do something for God. They're full of love and their soul travail, just travailing all the time. The Bible says, he that goeth forth sowing in tears will doubtless return again, rejoicing, bringing with him precious sheaves. Is that right? He said, look at this church. He said, if this morning, here comes this group of people, and God would say, now look, William Branham, I'm going to make you an answer for that group of people. What you tell them, now what do you want? Do you want them all to shout? He said, sure, I want them to shout. Well, do you want them all to speak with tongues? I want every one of them to. It's all right, amen. You don't have to be afraid of it either. I want every one of them to. Do you want them to dance in the Spirit? I want every one of them to. All right, well, that's very good, but what would you rather have them do? He says this is so powerful. I'd rather have a church that had such a burden on their heart for prayer. I think that's why we don't pray enough, amen. I mean, we need a burden to pray. And when we get the burden, we do other things with it. Amen. Look, let's not just pray because we're supposed to pray at a certain time of the day. But when that burden comes, let's do the right thing with it. Let's take it to prayer. Say, I wish I had a stronger prayer life. Get a greater burden for the people. Get a greater burden for your family and your church. And you'll find time to pray. You'll make time to get on your knees. You'll find a way to reach God because there's a burden on your heart for your loved ones, for your family, for your church. You'll find a way to pray. Ain't nobody gonna have to make you pray. We know that you're dependent on God for that person. Amen. Amen. I'd rather have a church that had such a burden on their heart for prayer that they just stayed at this altar and would be here day and night and everything else and in their house just constantly in prayer and humble and trying to get people to come to God and making calls at the hospital and visiting the sick and trying to get people to come to church and do right. He says, I'd rather have that than all the other things put together. All the others, right, it belongs in the church. But if I had to have it, I'd put that first. Yes, Lord. Amen. And we're talking about a burden. How many here ask God for burdens? God, give me a burden. God, give me a trial. God, I want to feel just as low as I can today. God, I want to go through some affliction. I want to suffer with my people. Amen. That's the thing that's valuable. The thing that so many times we're trying to run away from, that's the most valuable thing you got in your heart, the burden for one another. Amen, and Christian love, amen? Shh, well, praise the Lord. He says, if you've got that, if you'll just get so hungry for God, shouting will take place. If you got hungry for God, speaking in tongues will take place. If you got so hungry for God, you just keep on hungering. Keep this up. Go to seeing yourself getting indifferent. Just remember, look out. There's another spirit trying to work itself in there. So see, there's other spirits at play here. It's which one are you going to surrender to? Amen. Are you going to try to get away from that burden by taking another spirit from the world? Whether it's a pill or a drug or something at the bottom of a bottle. We can try to get away from that burden. Amen. Or we can take what God says and yield to His Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, stay right before God, humble, with travail of soul. Just have a good old fashioned. He says, I can prove that by the Bible. He said, the first time the angel of God went over the lands to seal with the Holy Ghost, it only sealed those who cried and sighed for the abominations done in the city. Ezekiel, the 9th chapter, is that right? Set a seal upon the forehead of those who sigh and cry for the abominations that's done in the city. Amen. I didn't put it in here, but another place, Brother Ram's talking about that. He said, whose sins were that? It wasn't the sins out there in the gutter. Amen. It wasn't the bootlegger. It was the sins of the elect. And then when you see your brother or sister in church suffering a little bit, you see how they've abandoned God, how they get a little indifferent on God. That's the time to sigh and cry out. That's not the time for you to get indifferent about it. Well, they don't care about me, so why should I care about them? No, that's the time to pray. That's the time to dig deep and say, you know what? There's a reason I feel this way. It's because God wants me to pray for that one. God's trying to draw me to something, amen? Not to give up, but to reach out. Now, what they do is up to them, but listen, you've got a responsibility to your brother and sister. You pray for that one. Amen? Listen, they can go out in the world and get scooped up by the devil plenty good without your help, amen. Amen. Well, they need somebody to pray for them. Well, they need somebody with a burden for them, amen. My. Like I said, I see many Christians, maybe some of you here tonight know what I'm talking about. They get this burden, we get anxieties or whatever it is. We don't even know, that, like there's no reason for it. I'm not talking about because you found out you ain't got enough money in the bank to pay the bills. I'm talking about you just carrying on your business. Look, I've come to this church right here before and come in that back office and I had my coffee in the morning and I was feeling great. And the next thing I know, Brother Andrew walks out and I'm on the floor weeping, wondering what happened to me. I didn't feel this way when I come in here. There was a burden somewhere in the church. Now listen, you say that's a minister, that's a Christian, amen. We go through these things and maybe you don't always realize why. But I want you to understand it's because that God is trying to do something with you. Now I said that God's trying to do something, but I want you to bring this down just a second. You're the one He's trying to do it with. If you've got that burden, if you know what I'm talking about, He wants to do something through you. He didn't choose the person next to you. He chose you to do it with. That's not a thing to shy down from. That's a thing to raise your hand and say, Lord, whatever it takes, I'm reporting for duty. I've signed up. God, use me. Instead of running to our cell phone or Facebook or whatever, trying to ignore it or get away from it. Or just taking something up. Amen. Trying to find us. See, that's the problem. We've got so many substitutes nowadays. We've got so many quick substitutes for that burden. Instead of praying through. Amen. Brother Bram says this. Is this all right here? He says questions and answers. He says, I want to ask you, brethren. He says, have you ever felt the Holy Ghost shake you so bad that you couldn't hardly say nothing? You would just sit quiet sometimes, just sit there and cry. Had you did that? He says, well, that's the Holy Ghost. Now watch what he's saying. He's talking about tongues in particular here. But he says, the reason people don't speak with tongues many times is they don't know how to yield themselves to the Spirit. And they're looking for something way off when it's right on them. Now I'll come back to this in a minute because it's more than just tongues, amen? But he's using this example. We're looking for something way off. And we're getting all shook up and here he's right on top of you trying to speak to you. And you don't realize it. And when you don't realize it, you don't yield to it, amen? He said, amen, as long as you don't realize it, you'll never yield to it because you don't know what it is. You're afraid of it. He says, and then some people just get themselves worked up in emotion, say a bunch of words that has no meaning to it. That still ain't got the Holy Ghost and try to say they have because they spoke in tongues. Amen? So notice what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about manufacturing something. I'm not talking about somebody who's just maladjusted and they're a teenager and their roller coaster emotions just have them up and down. But I'm talking about that person that's sensitive to the Spirit and they don't realize that's what it is. And because they don't realize it's what it is, they won't yield to it. So here God's not forsaken that person. He's not forgotten them. He's not afflicted them. He's actually displaying confidence in you, and you don't even realize it. He'd say, you know what? I believe that God can use this person, this child, to speak or to pray or to do a certain thing. Maybe lay their hands. I have confidence in that one. And you don't even think he's got confidence in you. And you feel bad and you feel down about yourself and you feel like you ain't nobody. And he's saying, you know what? If you just recognize, it's not something far off. I think some of us are waiting. We're like, this has got some sort of a pyramid plan or seniority. Well, one day, 20 years from now, when I'm spiritual, God can use me. If God can't use you today, when's he going to be able to? Amen? You say, but I got problems. Welcome. We've all got problems. You're going to have problems if you're alive 20 years from now. You're going to have them to the day you die. And that didn't disqualify you today. And it won't disqualify you then. Well, but I'm struggling. Yeah, and so are they. Why don't you pray for them? You might get blessed too. See, God, they don't realize. Listen, I don't know what the percentage is, but so much of our difficulty as Christians, so much what we wrestle with is because we don't recognize God trying to do something. We get into trials and we get upset because we fail to recognize he's with us. When you're going through trials, when you're going through sickness, when you're having trouble, he's right there. You don't have to go find him. You don't have to drag him up. You don't have to pull him down. He's with you, even in you. So I'm waiting for God to show up. God showed up when you walked in the door. But can you recognize he's here tonight? And if he's here, then what you're going through is not an accident. It's not some mistake of biology. It's the will of God. God trying to use you. Amen. See, we have a burden. We don't realize what it is. So then we don't know what to do with it. Amen. Brother Bram gave an example in the questions and answers 61. He's talking about he says there's two different tongues or two different kinds. So he says tongues of angels, that's a man in private prayer out yonder praying, speaking to God in angelic tongues. He says, I could just call you a case right now. I'm just going to read this. It's all right. He says, I could just call a case right now. I haven't got time. They found time for it. I guess God found time for it. He says, you remember when there was a woman come to the auditorium here? I think I shared this a while back, but he says, I was in where Dr. Alexander Dowie's from Zion. Remember me down there? He says, Billy, come to me after getting down there to the meeting. And I said, Billy, go on back. And he said, what are you crying about? Somebody been here? I said, no, sir, you go on back. Tell Brother Baxter to preach tonight. And I got down on the floor. And I said, Lord, what's the matter with me? You ever been there before? Yeah. Listen, this man felt so down. He said, have somebody else preach tonight. I don't even feel like preaching. He got so down and said, you tell Brother Baxter to preach. And he got on the floor and said, Lord, what's the matter with me? Well, nothing was the matter with him. Amen. What's the matter with me? And all of a sudden I heard somebody at the door speaking in other languages. I thought it was German. I thought, well, man, that fellow's come up to get him. He said, I stopped, prayed. I said, I listened to him standing there like that. And I thought, well, how would this guy ever understand that? Because I know the man that run the motel about 5 miles out of the city. I had to get out here and there's so many people around a small town. So he's outside of the town. He's saying, well, that's strange. I said, well, boy, did you ever hear? He said, that guy didn't even get a breath hardly. And I was just thinking hard as he was speaking. Well, I said, well, what? He said, why, it was me. And so I just kept real still. I just kept still. And after a while, he got through speaking. Now watch this. And when he got through speaking, when it did, I felt like I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. See, that's what you do with the burden. You pray, and then when it lifts, man, you feel like Superman. You feel like you could take on the Philistines. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I went out and Billy was going out the gate and I hollered at him, wait a minute. And he'd come back and he'd been drinking a soda pop. And he said, Daddy, what's the matter? I said, just wait a minute. I'm going with you. I started to wash my face real quick. He said, what's the matter? He knew better than to talk to me going to the meeting, but he said, what's the matter? I said, nothing, not at all. Just go ahead to the meeting. And we went on down there and Brother Baxter was sitting there playing Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior. And he come and said, whew, I thought you wasn't coming. He said, shh. He says, I went up and started preaching. He said, when I got through, about the time I got through preaching, well, boy, somebody like to took the back of the building back there in the big auditorium, run up an extension mic back there, and there's a woman back there. You familiar with this story? There was a woman back there just walking up and down the aisle, shouting just as hard as she could. Come to find out she had TB, and she left Twin Cities, St. Paul, and the ambulance couldn't bring her because they were afraid it would burst her lungs. And the doctor said her lungs was like honeycomb. If they ever broke, she'd be dead, that's all. And some saints took an old 38 Chevrolet. Well, that was their first mistake. I'm hoping nobody here drives a Chevy. They took the back seat, fixed up, put her in there on the road, and they hit a little bump or something. She started hemorrhaging. And right there, just started spurting the blood right out. And it was going through her nose and everything like that. She got weaker and weaker, and she didn't want to die in the car, so she told them to stop and put her on the grass plate. They plucked her out, and they were standing over praying, and all of a sudden, something struck her. And she got up and went away shouting down that road just as hard as she could. Here she was at church, just walking up and down the aisle. I said, sister, what time was that? Just exactly the same time the Holy Spirit was speaking through me. What was it? Gifts, he says. I'm just going to stop here before I finish reading this. What if he'd had that burden? He felt bad. He said, you know what? I'm going to pop some pills and just lay down. God just don't want me to preach tonight. What would have happened to that woman? Maybe somebody else, someone would have prayed. I don't know. But what could have happened? Amen. But he took that burden and he got on the floor and he sought God. Lord, what's the matter with me? And the next thing he knew, God was speaking through him. There was nothing wrong with him, Brother James. He thought, man, there's something wrong. I'm just emotional. I'm just a neurotic. No, God was believing he could speak through his prophet. I believe tonight God's believing he can speak through his children. Amen. Whatever you're going through, maybe you know what I'm talking about. You know what amen, hallelujah. God has faith in his children. You say, what do you mean? Because he's put something inside you. The world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. He's put the power inside of you to intercede, amen, for things you don't even know about. He says, what was the Holy Spirit making intercessions? God sent a gift to the earth, and the Holy Spirit just couldn't wait any longer, so he just took me over and began to speak him back himself like that, making intercession himself. And we checked the time at the very same minute they put on the plot like that they wanted to see, because they knowed she was dying. They'd have to say what time she died. It was the very minute that the Holy Spirit fell on me up there and began to make intercessions, utterance, words. Can't understand them, see? Like that giving utterance. That's the Holy Spirit speaking. Like I said, I've talked about tongues a little bit here, but I'll give you a different example the prophet talks about. This is in Questions and Answers in 1964. They ask a question. I hope you can agree with the question tonight or the answer. They ask Brother Branham, he says, can every son of God be so anointed? Man, I got some answers already. Can every son of God be so anointed till he can do miracles, signs, and wonders? Or is it just at the directions of the Holy Ghost? He says, yes, it's at the directions of the Holy Ghost. If you are a son of God or a daughter of God, better qualify there, amen. Somebody say that's me. You daughters, raise your hand. Amen. If you are a son of God or a daughter of God, whatever you are, when you have received the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit directs you to do things. That's his plan, doing things. You got the Holy Ghost to do things, not sit around and fuss and fume. He said you'd be like rivers of living water coming out of your belly. He didn't say it was a pond or a reservoir. You got something to give out, amen? And it ain't no little trickle. It ain't no little garden hose. You've got a river of living water coming out of you like that smitten rock. It took care of 2 million people in the wilderness. Don't tell me you ain't got enough power. Don't tell me God can't answer prayer. There's enough power in this building tonight in the Holy Ghost to speak another world into existence. That's somehow how some of us treat God. Well, I hope God can water my lawn. And he flooded the whole world. You think he's run out of water? You think there ain't enough Holy Ghost around to answer prayer? Listen, he gave you the Holy Ghost to do things. To do things, amen. We're going to do some things. In my name, they're going to cast out devils. They're going to speak with new tongues. They're going to lay hands on the sick. They're going to do something with it. He says, I don't have time. Well, praise the Lord. That's the truth. Amen. We couldn't fill the whole world with the book. I wish I could just tell you little stories. Every time I think about it, I just have to pass it by. But I think this one will hold for just a minute. He said, I was down in Meriden, Mississippi. He said, many of you oneness people, Brother Bigby was there holding the sponsor. I mean, he's a oneness brother. One night in the prayer meeting, Billy Paul went down over the arena and he gave out prayer cards. Oh, it was pouring down rain. And the people were standing outside with umbrellas and things. And Billy gave out prayer cards and he come to get me. And while he was there, he come to get me. There was a little lady that sat down in front. And there was another little lady walking with a little baby, trying to keep it quiet. And this little lady sitting there with a little calico dress on or whatever it was a mother too. And she seen the lady. And the Holy Spirit spoke to the woman, something on her heart. Go pray for that baby. Yes. Most of you know how this goes, but that's all right. There's a reason for this, amen? Well, she said, next time she passes, I'll go pray for her. Good idea. But when she passed by, the lady was holding a prayer card. Now, God didn't say, let me ask someone. God didn't say, now, if she's got a prayer card, don't do it, though. She's going by the prayer card. Oh, well, I couldn't pray for that baby. Brother Branham will pray for that baby tonight. And who am I? My daddy was telling me a story. He was watching Christian, one of these TBNs or something here some years ago. And this guy was on there, this evangelist. He said, you know, send me $10,000 and God will bless you. You know how it is. And he's on there saying, if you send me this $10,000, he said, I'll pray for you. I thought, well, that's a bargain. And he said something interesting. He said, you want to send me this? He said, well, you want me to pray for you or for Uncle Joe? And I thought, well, I want the one that believes to pray for me. I don't care if it's Uncle Joe or the biggest minister. I don't care who he is. Amen. Listen, he was telling everybody, my prayer means something more to God than Uncle Joe. But I said, I just want to see God answer the prayer. Amen. This woman thought, well, Brother Branham's going to pray. Who am I? Well, the pastor's going to pray. Well, so-and-so's here. Well, who am I? See, we do that. We pass the buck. He didn't give you the Holy Ghost to pass the buck. You're supposed to do things. It's time to do stuff. We got an action plan. It's called doing things. We're going to do something with this kingdom. Amen. Who am I? He's going to pray for it. Now, he says, now that was reverent. And that was nice. But that can't always be the will of God. Sometimes it's different. The Holy Spirit kept telling her, go pray for that baby. Finally, she thought, that woman will turn me down cold. No, she's got that prayer card. She wouldn't want me to pray for that baby. She brought that baby here, not for me to pray for it, but for Brother Branham to pray for it. Well, that's not really why she brought the baby. She brought the baby so the baby could get healed. Amen. That's just the means of the end. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's good, amen. he says, so the Holy Spirit kept saying, go pray for that baby. Finally, she said, well, look, your motive doesn't have to be the best sometimes. God still answers your prayer. Well, just to relieve myself, I said, I'll give her my seat. She said, honey, the one mother talking to her, well, you want, you got that baby. Would you come sit down here and take my seat? She said, oh, honey, I don't want to take your seat. I'm trying to keep the baby quiet. She said, but you look so tired and worn out. She said, well, I am. Well, sit down here and take my seat. She said, I see you got a prayer card. Perhaps your Brother Bram's going to pray for your baby. She said, well, I hope this number will be called. And he said, well, I do too. She said, sister, are you a Christian? I said, oh, yes. She said, I'm a Christian too. And said, ever since I've been sitting here, the Spirit of the Lord has been telling me, pray for that baby. Would you give me permission? I know Brother Bram will pray for that baby if it's called, and you just keep holding your card, you'll get it. It says, but if I lay my hands on that baby and just offer a little prayer to make myself feel better and get out from under what's calling me, would that offend you? She said, well, certainly not, darling. Isn't it funny? Yeah. How we do? Well, I don't want to offend them. Yeah. Well, they're going to be sick anyway. Right. Hey, man. Well, I don't want to offend them. Well, guess what? I didn't offend her. Yeah. She's like, go ahead. What's the worst that's going to happen? God not going to answer your prayer and the baby be sick like the baby already is. Oh, what do you got to lose? Listen, when anything can happen, you've got nothing to lose. Anything can happen, you've got nothing to lose. She said, well, go ahead, darling. Sure you can. Pray for the baby. And it was a little blue baby. And the little lady prayed for it. She'd give the lady her seat, climbed on the third balcony and was standing up. Some Christian brother down there jumping up to give this lady a seat. So she sat down. About half an hour later, I come into the meeting, spoke for a few words, called the prayer cards. And this one was third or fourth in the line of that baby. And she sat there. She said, oh, thank you, Lord. Now, I felt so sorry for that little mother. I believe that baby will get well now because Brother Branham. Just third or fourth, he'll get to that. Thank you, Lord. The little mother just sitting there feeling for that baby. He says, when I come, start praying for the baby, when the lady come out, I said, now I looked at her. And I said, now your baby is a blue baby. You brought it here to be prayed for. And your name is Mrs. So-and-so. And you've come from such and such a place. But the baby's already healed. Praise the Lord. But the baby's already healed. Amen. She almost just dropped out of her seat. Now watch what he says. You know what? I think it's interesting because what he didn't say is now, she should have let me pray for the baby. You all need to let the pastor take care of this. You're all not spiritual enough and you got to have my hands and mine. He didn't say that. He said, no, the baby's already healed. He says this. Now what if she had not done that? Come back to this again now. Because I want you to take this seriously tonight when I get as I get ready to close here. I want you to take seriously tonight if God's trying to do something through your life. How important it is. What if she had not done that? See what I mean? Now that woman would have had more sympathy for that baby, a mother to a baby, than I would for the baby. He says, the mother, and he asked the question, can we all do miracles? Yes. When you're directed by the Holy Ghost to do miracles, go do it. Go do it. Because it's Holy Spirit directed. Now, if that woman wouldn't have carried out what God told her, perhaps there'd been a rebuke in the spirit to her. She'd have disobeyed God. Amen. Notice that would just get worse. It would just grieve her. Amen. He says this always. Somebody say always. Always, if you are a Christian and something is persuading you to do something, go do it. Go do it. Don't doubt it. Go do it. Amen. Now, this is why I'm coming to you with this tonight. This is why I'm trying to deal with tonight, because many times we're in the same situation. Amen. It's not just a man. It's not just the ministry, but it's Christians. Amen. God dealing with our hearts. And many times we don't go do it because we doubt it. How many times I wonder in my own life, how many times in our own life have we had an opportunity to see God do something and we didn't do it? And the reason we didn't do it is because we felt burdened. We didn't feel well. And we thought that disqualified us or was stopping us. When in fact, that was the very thing that was trying to motivate you to go do it. Because you were being touched with their infirmity. Amen. And the very thing that God's trying to use our attention, see, we don't recognize it. We just think we're going through some emotional crisis or it's our midlife crisis or whatever it is. Amen. Brother Bram talks about this in the Uniting Sign of Time. He talked about how he had tension in his life. He was nervous and he had tension and he was always on edge. And he had prayed one time. He had his whole life. Now I want you to think about this because maybe you can identify with this right now. He prayed that God would take that burden and that tension and that strain away from his life. And God didn't take it away, but he took the fear of it away. See, it didn't bother him when the fear of it was gone. Amen. Once he recognized it and what it was, once the fear was gone, the tension wasn't a bit. He said the tension is what made him a Christian. It was a blessing. Oh my. Listen, that burden, that thing that you anguish over, what you think is just some sort of an inconsistency or whatever it is, that thing you struggle with, and you fear it and you dread it, amen? You don't need to get rid of it. What you need is for God to show you what it is. It's Him trying to deal with you. Because once the fear of it is gone, once you recognize it, amen? When I was talking to these people, I was talking to the sister and these others about it. I gave this example, amen. I said, if I was standing here in church right this moment, and all of a sudden I felt this pain in my stomach, just the sharpest pain, and it was stabbing me, it was gnawing at my stomach, and I didn't know what was going on, I'd probably close the service down pretty quick here. I'd get me some pills. I'd probably rush over to one of these hospitals, amen. Not knowing what's going on, man, I just hurt so bad. What's going on? Amen. See, it's the fear of it. But now, if Brother Andrew was standing on this platform tonight, and some big man came in here to punch him, and I stood in his way, and that man struck me in the stomach, and I felt the same pain, had the same symptoms, the same problems, but I know why it hurts now. It's because I'm standing in the gap for my brother. I'm taking it for him. This burden's come on me because God's wanting me to stand in the gap for that one. Listen, I'd still hurt. I'd still have pain. It would still make me want to keel over. But you know what? I wouldn't be afraid. I wouldn't have to go to the hospital. I'd say, you know what? If it happened again, I'd stand in the way again. 100 times and I'd do it 100 times over. If I knew that my stand in the gap meant eternal life for somebody else, I'd take that blow every time. I'd take it time and time again. It wouldn't bother me. It wouldn't worry me. Yeah, it hurts. We all hurt. We all go through things. But if I knew I could take something to save my brother's life, to save my sister's life, without hesitation, I'd jump right in the way and say, Lord, I'll take that burden. I'll take that strife. God, give it to me. I can take the pain. I can shoulder the burden. But God, save my brother. God, help my sister. See, when you know what it's about, it don't bother you no more. Yeah, it hurts. Some of you older people, you probably wake up every day with pain in your back or whatever it is, your feet, amen? And somehow you learn to live with it, amen? It was from work or a job or whatever it is. But listen, how much more? I got a burden in my life that comes on me every now and then because God wants me to pray for somebody. Now listen, that's something you cannot have any regrets about. Look, I can look back at things I lifted that were too heavy and the improper lifting techniques and all the lack of PPE I was supposed to wear at work and all the torment it caused me. And I can have regrets about that. But to know I stood in the breach and I stood shoulder to shoulder with my brother and sister, and I bear the burden, the blow for their sake. I ain't got one regret about that. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That don't bother me one bit. I'd do it again. And again, amen. Listen, the Bible tells us to endure hardness as a good soldier. Amen. You're not supposed to endure hardness like a victim. But as a soldier, amen, listen, you know why it hurts. You fought some battles. You've drawn your sword, amen. It amazes me. Hallelujah, I'm going somewhere now. It amazes me how many keyboard warriors will sit in church and they'll get on Facebook and they'll get on their Twitter and they can tear the man down and they'll let you know where they stand politically. They'll let you know who they're going to vote for in 2020. Man, they got this and they're so, man, they'll just, as long as they have to give you the real name, as long as they have to see you face to face. Man, you got some warriors, amen. But look, God's not called us to conquer Facebook or the internet. Listen, we've got real burdens. There's real spirits at play here. There's real devils and there's real Christians with real anointing. Listen, they have not gone out to battle like a bunch of sissies that are green from boot camp. We've got some veterans. Sure, they've got some scars because they've been in a fight, but they can give it as good as they can get. Hey, man, that's what I always tell people. The devil can give it, but I can give it a lot better back. Hey, man, listen, if you're in a fight, you're going to get it, but you can give it back to him. He can hit you once and you can hit him time and time and time again. Hallelujah. Listen, I didn't go out here for a picnic. I ain't wearing my summer best. I've put on the whole armor of God. I've drawn my sword. And some Christians, man, they're so tough. When they can talk the talk, they can't walk the walk. They don't want to get some blood of the enemy on their Sunday best. We don't want to get some calluses on our hands from wielding the sword. And look, it's time to be soldiers. We're not victims. Sometimes a soldier gets hurt in the line of duty. You know what he does? He gets back up and he fights on. Let's say you get hit by some guy. The devil hits you. Don't hurt me, devil. Man, you whip out your sword and you chase him down and say, you've made a mistake. Satan, you've made a mistake. You've come after my church. You've come after my pastor. You've come after my family. You have made a mistake. There was 14 other houses on the block you could have chosen, but you've foolishly chosen mine. You have chosen to defy the army of the Lord, and now I'm going to make you regret it. If the Lord would tarry and I die someday, you'll live on with the regret of facing me in battle. You'll live on with the regret of the power of God coming down on your gates and taking the keys of your house. Man, I hope he regrets every day. Every day he had to tangle with me. Look, he ain't afraid of me. I'd like to say that, but he's not. He's not afraid of you, but he's afraid of that Holy Ghost that's in you, that's making intercessions. When you feel down in the dumps, and you feel like you can't go on, and you don't feel like you're a Christian, and you're asking like the prophet did, what's the matter with me? That same Holy Ghost is in you to defeat the devil any place, anywhere, anytime. Hallelujah. Oh man, I tell you what, he shouldn't have started something. Shouldn't start a fight you can't finish. You done picked on the wrong house tonight. My. I tell you what, listen, last time I was preaching on inspiration, I made the point. I want to stop with this here as the musicians come. Last time I preached on inspiration, I made the point, if I come up here and I preach without inspiration, you'd have been disappointed with the service. If I'd just been up here and giving you a lecture, amen, because it would have ruined the whole service. And I made the point, but what about you as a Christian? What kind of inspiration are you living under? Amen. Listen, tonight, I'm here because of a calling. God put a calling in my life. It wasn't, I tell you what, I'd love to have weekends off. But I love eternal life a lot more. The rewards, I got good benefits. It might not pay the best, but it's got good benefits. I got good retirement. I got good future home. I got good companions. I got good fellowship. I tell you what, I got a good health plan. He's the Lord that heals all our diseases. Amen. It's got good benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Amen. Listen, I come up here and I got a ministry. Listen, I've got to pray. I've got to get down. I've got to seek the face of God. Amen. But listen, if you've got a gift in your life. Well, the prophet said this way. If God's placed a gift in your life, he said you should be just as interested as getting your ministry into place in the house of God as the pastor is interested in getting his. Because it's just as essential that you do it. Maybe I should have called this just do it. Amen. You got to do it. If he's got to do it, you've got to do it. If he don't show up and he don't show up and he don't show up, you ain't going to have a church after a while. But what about you? If you don't show up, well, I showed up to church. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about warming a pew. You've got to show up. Amen. Listen, lots of men came out when Goliath was there, but one young boy showed up. One boy showed up. Said, I will fight this Goliath. I'll take his head off. Amen. Well, they were there hiding in their tents, hiding in their veils, hiding behind every little excuse they got. Amen. But one boy said, I'm going to show up. Listen, it's time for us. The whole world's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's time for us to grow up and show up. We're the sons of God. I'm waiting for somebody else to show up and do it. God's anointed me. God's anointed you to do it. Yes, sir. We're here.
Let's do it.
Somebody let the devil know we're here.
We're here.
Somebody let God know we're here.
We're here.
Don't know what I'm going to go through. It might hurt a lot. But one thing I know at the end of the day, I'm going to give it to him a lot worse than he give it to me. I'll make him rue the day he ever tried to fight the bride of Jesus Christ. I'll make him rue the day he ever crossed paths with Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nisi. My God is more than able. How dare he defy the armies of the living God? Let's endure hardness as soldiers, not victims. We're soldiers. We've reported for duty. We've put on the whole arm. We've drawn our swords. Let's get a little fight in us. Let's get a little fight in you, amen. I tell you what, you want to defeat the enemy? You ain't going to defeat him like this. Hit him back once and watch how fast he runs away. I tell you what, he's fast. I'll give him that. Oh, man, you stand up to him just once in the Spirit of God and you watch him hightail it out of there. That's why you can't outrun him. He's pretty fast. Amen. We try to outrun our burdens. Our problem, don't do that. Give it to God. Stand there like a Christian. Yeah. Look, you might not even know what it is. Bill Brendan, he asked God. Yeah. What's wrong with it? Look, it was so simple. He wasn't being spiritual. What's wrong with me? Yeah. Amen. He didn't ask the psychiatrist. He didn't ask the doctor. He didn't ask the banker or some other. He didn't ask Dr. Phil or Oprah. He asked God, what's wrong with me? Nothing. Nothing. Just want to use you. I've got a child over here. Brother Bam says her angel came to him, actually. Spoke through him. Amen. Pray for one another. Let's pray for one another. Amen. Let's not run. I don't back down from the devil. I hit harder. And I don't have to back down. Amen. You say amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, tonight I pray this simple thought would maybe speak to somebody. Lord, many times in my life, gone through certain things, burdens. Maybe even naturally in life, gone through situations wondering why. I'm a witness, as Brother Andrew said, you've been faithful every time. Lord, there's always a reason for it. Lord, so many times we fail to recognize. We listen to so many voices tell us there's something wrong with us. But I believe there's a Christian here tonight that can identify with that burden. They know what it means maybe tonight, if they could bear witness of it, what a prophet said, to take that burden and give it to you in prayer. Lord, what you could do, not just for our families, not just for our church, but for people we don't even know about, like you did with the prophet. Lord, I believe there's so much more tonight that you could do through us if we would just recognize and yield and believe it. I believe tonight as soldiers we can stand here and give our enemy another black eye, fight him with everything we've got. I believe tonight we've got some enlisted men, some enlisted women in this house. They're ready to fight the battle. They're not ready to back down and walk away. They've showed up and reported for duty. Lord, I pray you bless them tonight. Help them to recognize and to yield to the moving of the Spirit in their life, no matter how it seems to be. Lord, help them to recognize tonight. Open our eyes to see it, Lord, in a greater way. That's our greatest need tonight, is to recognize what you're trying to do in our life, to not be ignorant of your will. Lord, bless them, I pray tonight. Bless your children, not just in this house and with their different ministries. I thank you for that, Lord, but even in their own homes, their own lives, going down the highway, Lord. I believe you can pray through your children. I believe you can use us to do many great things, Lord. The Bible said your people in the last days would do exploits. I believe we're here, Lord. I believe they've showed up tonight. Lord, we thank you for it now. We commit ourselves in your hands once again. Show us, Lord, what we need to see. And we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is good. You believe that tonight? Hey, listen. We're not victims. We're soldiers. And I've got good news. We're on the winning side. Brother Steve, I'm going to pick him on him. Come up here. He wanted me to sing a song tonight. What key do you want to do that in? Well, I'm going to pick a key in you from.
Okay.
You want me to sing the song tonight, amen? I think it's appropriate because we're soldiers. Amen? And this brother wanted me to sing it. Well, it's not one person's song. He's going to have to help me. So when I sing the lines, now some of you know this song. Maybe some of you don't. Probably some of you don't, but some of you know this song. I got in his army in due time. How many knows that song? So when I sing these lines, you got to back me up. I'll say, I couldn't walk right in this army, and you say, army in due time. All right? I'm going to sing the chorus, and we'll go, praise the Lord. We'll get it here, amen? Is this all right? Well, I'm so glad I got in this army in due time. Oh, I'm so, hallelujah, I'm so glad. I couldn't walk right till I got in this army. I got in this army. I couldn't talk right till I got in this army. There you go. I couldn't live right till I got in this army. Oh, I couldn't love right till I got in this army. Oh, I'm so glad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I'm so glad. Ready? Well, Jesus Christ is the captain, and the Word of God is my weapon. The Holy Ghost will direct us, and the sword of the Spirit will protect us. Oh, I'm so glad. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I'm so glad I got in this arm. Oh, yes, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I got in this army. Sanctified army, holy army. This blood-bought army, word-filled army. For this Jesus army, powerful army. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Got in this army. Oh, I'm so glad. I couldn't walk right till I got in this army. I couldn't talk right till I got in this army. I couldn't live right till I got in this army. Oh no, I couldn't love right till I got in this army. Oh, I'm so glad. Hallelujah. Blood-bought army, word-filled army. Well, it's Jesus' army, a powerful army. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Got it. Oh, I'm so glad. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Woo, 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 woo. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. That's pretty good. Amen.
You know that song, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord?
All over, brother, sister. You think you've seen something? You should have seen me 10 years ago. I'm starting to realize, Brother Steve, I'm getting a little older. That used to be a lot easier than I remember. But I've a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost pouring out is all I'm interested in, brother, sister. You say, well, brother, what about the word? Did you receive it? I did. I did. It gives me joy. It gives me peace. It gives me love. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
You say, where did I get all these things? I got it from the Spirit of the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there's liberty. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I think it's Test the Musicians night. Go ahead, give me G minor. So go ahead and put cable that one open.
I don't know G minor open.
G minor. Well, it's just going to be E minor, A minor, B. But with the cable. Three, third fret. Nope, SF. So you gotta teach them everything anymore, I'll tell you what. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. Oh, when the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. I will dance like David danced. I will dance like David. Let's sing like David. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. I will sing like David.
like David. Let's praise the Lord tonight. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will praise like David praised. For when the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will praise like David praised. I will praise like David prayed. I will praise like David did praise. Listen to this now. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will love like Jesus loves. Come on now. When the Spirit Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart. I will fly like Enoch flew. Come on now. Oh, when the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will fly like Enoch flew. It's a silly question, but you enjoying the presence of the Lord tonight? Amen. Another silly one. How many appreciates Brother Alexander coming and speaking? Praise the Lord. God bless him. Thank you, serve the Lord. Oh, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, it's good to be a servant of the Lord. Whew, glory. I'm old. It's been so good, brother, sister. It's so good to know. Some of y'all might have to, like we just heard preached this afternoon, might have to pick that burden right back up. How many's let the Spirit come, take the fear of it away, and say, Lord, whatever you placed on me, I ain't going to be afraid of it no longer. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to say, Lord, all things work together for good, and I'm going to bring glory to your name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Nobody can do it but you, brother. Nobody can do it but me. You might not think you're nothing, but you're the only you there is. Glory to God, and I'm so glad to know that God cares about each one of us just the same. And He's looking for each part of the bride to find its place so we can go home and be with the Lord. Amen. Let's just praise the Lord as we go here tonight. Let's be dismissed. Oh, man, I had a song and I just lost it. Do you have something, Dad? See, man, you hire somebody for something and they just stare at you. And,
which sweet bye-bye?
Yeah, that's it.
There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there.
Glass
what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glassy sea? Sing it with all y'all. What will it be when we get over yonder? Gonna be soon and join the throng upon the glassy sea. Praise the Lord. What will it be? We get all done. Join from the pump, grassy soon. Oh, our loved ones waiting on us. We'll join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Worship him with all your heart. Oh, yes.